The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Five Reasons Celtics, part of the Five Reasons Sports Network. I'm your host, Bobby Krivitsky, and joining me for this debut episode, we have Jack Simone from Hardwood Houdini, and the other half of Talking Celtics and How About Them Celtics, his co-host, Sam LaFrance from Celtics Blog. Gentlemen, thanks for joining me on the debut episode.
Happy to be here. We love you, Bob. Right. Why would we not be here? You're our guy.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate you.
Of course, there was no one else I'd rather have on. No one else that made more sense to have on for the debut episode. Sam loves him, a nice helping plate of negativity, and he certainly got it with Celtics' performance on Christmas. Big lump of coal in the stockings of Celtics fans as they drop a Christmas clash to their rival Sixers on the TD Garden parquet. Jack, we'll start with you because for the most part, the Celtics had a pretty poor showing at the defensive end of the floor. What did you see from them on that front?
Yeah, it just felt like the effort wasn't really there, or at least the focus. Like I was telling Sam last night when we were recording, I don't think it's ever a case of they're not trying. I think it's a case of they're being a little bit lazy. They're not completely locked in, and that's kind of what it was. The Celtics defense hasn't been what it was last year, regardless of what the numbers say, at least in my opinion. They were getting blown by way too easily last night. I know Tyrese Maxey's an all-star for a reason, one of the fastest guards in the league for a reason, but they were getting blown by. And then Kristaps Porzingis, even before he tweaked his ankle, was just not getting over on the backside help in time. It was just a really lackluster, all-over-the-place defensive performance. I thought Al Horford did a pretty good job on Joel Embiid in the post, but he was making his jumpers, so that was pretty much null and void. Tyrese Maxey was getting whatever he wanted, and then even late in the fourth quarter when they said, okay, let's let Caleb Martin shoot a little bit, if he's making them all, he's making them all, and it's that strategy is not going to work. So I just think the defense was a bit out of sorts, not really focused, a little bit lazy, and when you're playing a team like the Sixers, who for all their struggles have three all-star caliber guys, one of them being Caleb Martin, it's tough. It's going to be a tough night.
It's so funny, Sam, that you
go ahead, Sam.
Yeah. So the Celtics yesterday, the whole theme after the game was, the inconsistent basketball. Like Joe Mazzulla was talking heavily about that in the press conference. And they showed us in the game, they were like, here's what we look like when we're at our absolute worst. And then for the last 6 minutes of this game, we're going to try. But it just wasn't enough. They completely flipped the switch. We saw what we saw in the playoffs last year where they were completely locked in, completely engaged on defense. But the hole that they put themselves in by consistently just having to force difficult shots on offense, the engagement wasn't there either. And then the opposite end, as the Celtics are throwing up tough layups in traffic, floaters over defenders, you name it, Philly is just taking wide open jumper after wide open jumper. I hate a loss on a big stage. And it was nice to feel something again yesterday because this team has been so good that we've all become spoiled and numb and just expect them to win every time. And when their expectation is lowered, when they start playing to a just putrid level like they did at the beginning of the fourth quarter, charging back at the end of that game opens your eyes and you're like, all right, like they've got something if they actually put it together. And the last week or so, really the whole month has just been, which Celtics are we going to see today? The engaged Celtics, or are they going to be sitting back in the video game chair Celtics?
So I wanted to go Caleb Martin, but you brought up the start of the fourth, and that was perplexing to me because it's one thing to do a Miami Heat, take a page out of their playbook and pace yourself through a game and then turn it on, especially if you feel like you're the more talented team. But for the Celtics at the start of the fourth quarter to completely get away from what was working for them for most of the third frame was baffling. And then, like Jack said, they finally dial up the defensive intensity and focus. They go on this 11-0 run. They didn't have a steal until that stretch came at the 3:20 mark when Jalen knocked the ball out of Maxey's hands, and it leads to a Horford dunk, which the pop after that slam, for my money, maybe it's recency bias, I thought that's the loudest TD Garden has been this season. And I was trying to think, was there a moment in the Knicks game on opening night? But I really feel like it was that Horford dunk that takes the top spot in that conversation. But yeah, they just overall, even Caleb Martin, who he nearly matched his career high, had 23 points, his best is 28. He made 7 of 9 threes, so that's a new personal best for him. And it just, so many of those, Joe Mazzulla talked about, well, we have to pick our poison. But it didn't feel like they were put in a predicament. It felt more like guys were just kind of detaching from him while wandering aimlessly, or, you know, there was a breakdown in rotations where sometimes, for example, Derek White is going back to help at the rim and he wants Nemish Keita to get out and close to him, which is fine from a, hey, this is the way it's supposed to be. But maybe when you're looking at personnel, that Derek White has to cover more ground to get over there. So it just felt like there were lapses in focus and attention to detail that really hurt them yesterday.
It just feels like they've been on a stretch where, obviously, like John Corrales was asking about it after the game last night, and I think it's a good point. I don't think the defense has been very good for a lot of this season, but they've been so hot from three that you haven't noticed. And so, obviously, the Sixers game on Christmas, they were good from three. Like, that wasn't the problem. But in the game, why am I blanking on who the Magic game, when the offense really, really struggled, like, defense kicked up, but the offense was slumping, and so it didn't really matter. And so it feels like now that the three-point shooting has regressed a little to the mean. It's not that they are going to shoot this poorly or as poorly as they did before the Sixers game in most of the games, but I don't think the defense is what it needs to be or was what it needs to be, and it still isn't, but the three-point shooting was making up for it. And I think you saw in the Sixers game, 75% of the game was bad defense, and one quarter the offense really kicked in and that helped them defensively, like juice them up a little on the other end. And that can't be the thing. And they talked about it a lot last season where it's like, we need to be amped up and ready to go on both ends, regardless of what's happening on the other end. That hasn't really been the case this year. It feels like if they are cold, they're not going to play as well on defense. And if they are hot, they're going to amp up the intensity. And Joe's talked about it too. Like, a big part of it is in the first half, Jaylen Brown and other guys were missing a lot of shots inside. Sixers just got to run. They would miss the layup. Jaylen Brown would be under the hoop after missing a layup, and then Tyrese Maxey, whoever, would run the court. And so when you're making your shots, it's easier to get back and get in defensive stance. But when you're missing a bunch of shots and the offense isn't as good, you're ending up in transition a lot. So if anything, the Celtics need to work on their transition defense. And then, like you said, Bobby, it just felt like the third quarter intensity and everything that went right was fully abandoned in the fourth. I don't know if it was laziness. I don't know if it was lack of focus. I don't know if it was, oh, we're good now, we're making shots. But it's just been a really, really weird stretch for Boston.
There's also a layer to that where in the fourth quarter, the Sixers did a great job of being the aggressor on defense early on. Like, every shot Boston took was tough. They forced them into all these looks that they really didn't want to do or take. And then once that 6-minute mark flipped, it was the opposite. Philly was taking difficult shots. It was mid ranges, and Embiid was catching the ball at the 3-point line. Like, it's incredible how much of a negative the Celtics were able to turn Embiid into, because Philly's addicted to playing through him. When Maxey was the best guy yesterday and they had no answer for him, Embiid comes in the game and all of a sudden things are different. To get back to what the Celtics are doing this month, Sean Grandy put out the stats last night. They're 6-5, which we all know. In offense, they're 10th in the NBA. They're 6th in defense. They are 5th in net rating and 7th in rebounding. The real issue, the real thing that is holding them back is the efficiency. They're 24th in field goal percentage, 22nd in three-point field goal percentage, and that's the real difference maker. It's incredible because watching these games, yes, you feel that the shots are not going in as frequently. We all felt that they were red hot to start the season. The defense was a question mark at the beginning of the season, but now that it's fixed itself, they can't put the ball in the basket and it doesn't matter anymore. It's just been such a strange thing to watch develop, and it's really frustrating. because the Celtics have built this team. They've built a winning formula with shooting. And when it doesn't work, you can see how much it takes away from them. And they still have all the talent and everything like that. Does this mean that they need to have a secondary game plan? Maybe. Usually that's Porzingis post-ups, but when he's not able to stay on the court and stay healthy, like we just did a video on this before we talked to you, Bobby. He's been back for a month. He's already had four different things flare up in the middle of games where he's had to leave games. Like the Celtics are in a weird spot. They aren't bad. They just need to figure out what they're doing and how they're going to be able to find their footing when things don't go well shooting the basketball. Listen, they're not going to be bottom 10 in the league in efficiency all season. But when you hit a slump like this and it's this aggressive, it's a tough watch.
Yeah, I think there's been some regression to their form a couple of years ago where they miss a ton of threes against the Bulls in the loss last week at home, and it impacts their defense. That was something we didn't really see from them a season ago. Frustration with the officiating and physicality from Orlando gets the best of them. And part of that demise is a lot of sloppy turnovers. And then just general inconsistency, like we saw the other night in the Christmas loss to the Sixers. But still, like you said, Sam, from that Sean Grandy tweet, the numbers overall are pretty good, minus the efficiency, which at the rate that they're taking threes in particular, it's hard to maintain that. And yes. So I look at this as a disappointing December stretch, but this is a group that in the Tatum and Brown era have gone to at least the Eastern Conference Finals five times in the last 7 years. It's a prideful bunch that is used to winning and doing so at a high level. So I think this December dip is probably about to come to an end because their pride just got called into question with this loss on a national stage, on the marquee date on the NBA's regular season calendar. But at the same time, Jack, they have a really difficult stretch that goes for over a month starting in January, which begins with a West Coast trip against the Timberwolves, the Rockets, the Thunder, and the Nuggets. So they have this gauntlet that lies ahead as they need to get their act together.
Yeah, I mean, we looked at it for a video recently. I don't have any doubts that the Celtics' three-point shooting will turn around. Like, they shot better in the Philly game. That's a perfect example. It's just the defense wasn't there. But it is just tough when you're in such an obvious shooting slump, and that is such a big part of your offense, or just is your offense, which I don't think is a bad thing. I think a lot of people are going to turn this into see what happens when you shoot a bunch of threes, but like realistically.
They've been waiting. Yeah. And they're waiting to be like, see, look.
Realistically, like, slumps happen throughout every season. They happened last season. It'll happen again this season. Like, it is what it is. The difference is the Celtics defense and other parts of the game hasn't really been good enough to keep getting them like the high level wins that they have been. They're 3-4 in their last seven. I think 1-3 in their last four, something like that. So that's the problem. And the problem is you haven't been good enough in the other areas to make up for your shooting slump. But I don't think the shooting slump itself is the problem, because we looked at it, like I said recently, they're still getting good looks. They're still generating some of the most wide open threes in the NBA of any team. And that's going to continue to happen because of the talent they have in the team. The difference is they need to make sure that that is not the way they win or lose. Because last year we saw time and time again, they would not make a bunch of threes and be like, okay, they're still in this game because the defense has been great and they've been doing all these other things. That's been the biggest difference into this season, I think. And so as much as the shooting slump is what a lot of people, I think, will pull from this recent stretch for the Celtics, I think really it is what Joe Mazzulla says all the time. Like, he looks at shot quality, not shot efficiency. The quality is going to be there. You take the best quality shots based on the personnel you have, and that's what the Celtics have been doing. But you have to be good enough in transition defense, in half-court defense, in rotations, in getting out in transition yourselves, in staying disciplined to get the offense that you want to get and not just taking bad drives to the rim or pull-up threes that aren't within the flow of the offense. Like, they need to stay on this course while simultaneously improving the defense and all the stuff in transition that has been a problem. And I think that's how they fix this. I don't think it's a problem of, oh, look at their shot. The threes are finally catching up to them. I think it's just you need to fix everything around the threes because the quality is there. It's just the efficiency that needs to catch back up.
And there's no disputing that this is a strategy that works. I mean, you saw them win a championship in dominant fashion last year. Like, yes, you can point at the playoff matchups not being like the juggernaut teams that we've seen them have to go through in the past at times. They didn't play Milwaukee. They didn't even have to see Philly. They didn't play the Knicks, whatever. It still worked. They still bodied everybody. Nobody had any answer for them. I think the problem comes this year. You look at a game like the Memphis game where you want to talk about shot quality. Jrue Holiday getting all those open looks are still good shots. They just don't go in. I don't think
the NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise-ready AI.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That they should discourage Jrue to shoot the ball. I do think it helps to have more pitches in your pitch mix if you're Joe Mazzulla rather than just throwing the fastball every time, even though it's a great fastball. Having some wrinkles to throw in there is great. And we've seen the Celtics do a great job at this. You know, Tatum has been much, much better this year at getting to the rim. I think that's one of the reasons why he's been someone who's, I mean, listen, the Celtics fans are always going to do it, but put him in MVP conversations and it's like kind of fair. Like he's been a monster. He was a monster on Christmas too. I think the commitment to going to the rim from him has been a big upgrade this year, and I think that will help them with what we're talking about. When things aren't working, you can trust him to get inside. Yesterday, Philly was really committing to that, and it was a weird day because they still shot 40% from three and didn't win.
Yeah, I thought Tatum was phenomenal and continues to be a name that deserves a lot of at least – I think the MVP conversation even can be more nuanced, where Nikola Jokic is the front runner and on pace to win it. Although the minutes that Mike Malone is playing him by force, you wonder if someone at that size, does he slow down? Is there a dip in his play? But he is the safest bet for MVP. Luka Doncic now with the injury might not even be eligible because of this calf strain, depending on how many games he misses, not just now, but the rest of the season. Tatum has raised his efficiency while continuing to do everything. And I think that even there are a segment of Celtics fans who get more appreciation for what he does setting the table for his teammates and consistently generating high quality shots for them and getting them in rhythm when he doesn't play, like that game against Orlando. So I think Tatum is just having a phenomenal season. And like I said, raising his efficiency. His counterpart, though, Sam, has struggled, and there's been some regression there for Jaylen Brown. The other night, he had 23 points on 23 shots. He had 5 turnovers. He was not good defensively. What are you seeing from Jaylen, and what's your level of concern?
I don't know how concerned I am about Jaylen, because I feel like last season we saw a similar start where it looked like he was trying to find his way within the team after they added a few new stars. The difference is they didn't do that this year. They have the same team. He should be fine playing with the guys that they have. I think the hip injury played a factor into his slow start at the very beginning. Maybe it's still bugging him a little bit now. He hasn't been on any injury reports lately. He looks like he's been pretty clear of that. I think some of the decision making has been rough. I felt like I was watching some of the 2023 Miami series yesterday against Philly, where he was just getting blitzed. It was Caleb Martin too, defending him. Caleb Martin, who, by the way, after that series went on, I think it was a Lebatard show, and was like, yeah, that guy can't go left. Ha 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 ha. And then everyone trolled him all summer. He had 5 turnovers against Philly yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. Like, that's not great. On the flip side, we saw him play a great game against the Magic on Monday. He was efficient. He was dominant. He was going through guys' chests. And I think that's truly what he needs to get back to. The question is, how can the Celtics allow him to do so without taking away from the rest of the team? Monday was a game, you said it, where they clearly missed Tatum, and having Brown be the best, one of the best versions of himself, still wasn't enough to beat a Magic team that was without Paolo, without Franz. They just lost Mo Wagner. Yes, they were motivated, but they still weren't able to beat this team that had some guy I'd never heard of scoring 18 points on them. Like, I don't know what the solution is with Jaylen. My concern is probably at a 3, because going forward, this is something you're going to have to figure out with the cap situation and what you want to do with the contract. I don't think they should trade him, at least not yet. I don't think it should be a real thought. But if the fit doesn't completely come back into form, I don't know what you're going to do.
I wonder how much of Jaylen's struggles have been his new sub-pattern role. He played the first quarter all of last season, like the entire first quarter all of last season, and now Tatum was playing the entire first quarter. I don't think that's an excuse for his, I don't know if subpar play is the fair word, but like play less than expectations, but it could be inefficient. Yeah, it could be a reason why maybe he's struggling to adapt. That's not as much of a concern for me, because we know Jaylen can score. We know he's going to be a great scorer. He's had some off nights. I think his playmaking actually has been better this year than it has been. It's the lack of focus sometimes that we saw earlier in his career that popped up in the Philly game, where he's getting blown by a little too often on defense for a guy that we've clearly seen can lock in and be one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA. He's not paying attention off the ball. He's driving into traffic when it's very clear that there are better options on the floor. Like, it's those things that worry me more than Jaylen's ability, because I don't think there is any questioning Jaylen's talent and basketball ability at this point. He's an all-star. He's one of the best players in the NBA. It is the, I don't want to say willingness, but like how often it seems to flip on and off at times. And you saw that in the Philly game, and that's not something that can happen in the NBA. Like, you're going to lose games if you have star players playing 30 plus minutes who are not focused on defense, not locked in, because all it takes is one Jaylen Brown, you know, lapse in judgment on the defensive end for Tyrese Maxey to get by him. Then he's breaking down the defense, and then another player is rotating, and then the Celtics are stuck in rotation. Then it's an open three, and that's another up. Like, it takes one small mistake for an avalanche of issues. And then the same thing can be said for the offensive end. Like I said earlier, Jaylen Brown last night, or as we're recording this on Christmas, drove into traffic, missed the shot because it was a contested layup, and then he was under the rim. Philly got to running, and they got transition points. Like, it's these lapses in judgment that we know he can make the right choice. We know he can lock in on defense. We know he can make great plays on offense. But it's the inconsistency with which he's doing it and locking in like that that is more concerning than the actual ability.
And then you look at the second unit, Sam Hauser the other night, 0-for-1 and just invisible out there, quite frankly. And I think the lower back injury and the pain that he's dealing with on and off has really compromised him as a defender, especially on the ball. We're not seeing the same player he was last season in that regard. And Peyton Pritchard, he's been fantastic. He's still in my mind at the forefront of the sixth man of the year conversation. And I've been saying for a while now that he deserves serious consideration for most improved as well with the jump that he's made. So him being 0-of-8 beyond the arc and 1-of-9 from the field against the Sixers, not concerning to me on a Pritchard standpoint. But I do feel like quite a bit lately I've looked at the second unit, Sam, and the production on a scoring front hasn't been there. And last season, they got off to a slow start as well in that regard, but they were still defending at a high level. And then their shooters in particular found their rhythm and they were off and running and really making this team that much more difficult to combat. So when it comes to the second unit, do you look at Hauser's injury in particular and say they might need to find another addition that can give them more firepower, or just let this group sort itself out?
So biggest winners of the season so far, people, that were like, they can't let this guy go. Oh man, they can't let Lonnie Walker walk because they need that. It would be cool to have Lonnie Walker at this point in time with Sam Hauser being injured and inefficient and not really existent while he's on the court. They're not the same exact player, but they could use a little bit of a boost when Peyton Pritchard doesn't have it, which has been a very rare thing this season, but it's been a common thing over the last week or so. He's been not himself. He hasn't looked like the guy that's just brought everyone out of their seats in all these games. He was rough against Philly. He was rough in Orlando. He was rough against Chicago. It was a tough watch. It was disappointing. I think the Celtics really are missing the shooting from the bench in particular. I think it's making it a little bit easier for defenses to collapse and key in on the stars when Sam Hauser is not even getting use or he's not efficient when he's out there. And I do think the back has something to do with it. I'm dealing with a back thing myself. It's not really easy to do things at times. If you have a pain in there, it's going to throw off your shooting. It might be in the back of your head if it's going to flare up. There's all sorts of things that go along with that. I trust that Pritchard's going to figure things out. Hauser probably isn't going to be Hauser until whatever he's been dealing with, which has been a long-term thing, apparently. It's been like since the summer, until it subsides, until it goes away. I don't really know what moves there are to be made. I don't know who's out there. Jack and I did a chat about this, a video about this, earlier in the week, Jack, and we had a couple guys, but some of them are pipe dream type players.
Yeah, I don't think I agree with the Lonnie Walker thing. I still don't think he would be a good fit with this team. Like, he's efficient only when he gets all the shots he needs to be efficient, and I don't think that would be a thing in Boston, and he's shooting well in the EuroLeague, but again, he's shooting well in the EuroLeague because he's taken how many shots per game in the EuroLeague? He's getting 10 shots a game, 5 threes a game. Don't think you would get that on the Celtics team with Peyton Pritchard and Sam Hauser. Maybe he could slide into the Sam Hauser thing. I am also of the belief that his shooting is a little bit, I don't want to say fake, but I don't think his shooting percentage in the NBA last year was as good as it truly is. Anyways, regardless, you can think what you want to think about Lonnie Walker. I think the easiest solution to the Sam Hauser injury is keep him out for however long he needs to be. Play Drew Peterson. Give Baylor Shireman a look. Let Jordan Walsh get some minutes. I'm not saying any of them are the level of shooter Sam Hauser is. I think Sam Hauser is one of the most unique shooters in the NBA just because of like how consistently good he is with his form, with everything, and his mechanics. So you're not going to replace that. But I think Drew Peterson is a good enough player to give you some wing minutes. I think Jordan Walsh is a good enough player to give you some wing minutes. I think Baylor Shireman is a good enough player to give you some wing minutes. He's probably the least ready of the three, but at the very least, you can throw him in, see if he looks okay, and then take him out for a Drew Peterson or a Jordan Walsh. Are there trade options out there? Yes. Like, you got Jaden Springer's $4 million salary. If you really want to look through those guys, maybe bring Svi Mykhailiuk back if you're comfortable giving him some of those minutes, and then you have a longer-term deal that you can trade down the line again. I know Jake Eisenberger, first of the floor, brought up some names. There's Champagne in Washington. There's a couple Grizzlies guys who are maybe more pipe dreams, like Jake LaRavia. There's Torrey Craig, who's a vet. Javonte Green's not really a shooter, but it's another wing. I still think the easiest thing to do is, if you want to dump Jaden Springer's salary, do that. Elevate Drew Peterson to a standard roster spot. I think he's a multi-tool player. I think he's a good three-point shooter. I think he can put the ball on the floor. I think he's a better defender than people give him credit for. I don't think he's a Sam Hauser level defender even, but I think he's not as much of a liability as people think. But you've got guys on the roster, and if you want defense, play Jordan Walsh. And so I think there are guys on the roster that can take some of those minutes. But Sam Hauser so clearly just isn't himself this year, both in the sense of the back issues and in the sense of, like, they're not even looking for him out there. He took one shot against the Sixers last night. Like, last year, if Sam Hauser got in the game, he was getting up at least three threes, and he's just not getting those looks this season. So if you want to make moves, I think the best thing would be to elevate guys or give more opportunities to guys already on the roster. But something's got to change. I think Sam Hauser's got to either stay out until his back feels completely better, or they've got to look for him and try to get him more opportunities, because these minutes where Sam Hauser is getting 1-3 completely defeat the purpose of having him on the court.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I think Hauser needs an extended reprieve here, and hopefully that does the trick, because this happened over the summer, so it wasn't like he had to get back and be playing NBA games a week from when it first flared up. And it obviously, that wasn't enough time off. So hopefully they're willing to give him a break, that as much as he doesn't want to see that happen, he goes along with it and it does the trick. And then I'm with Jack. I think the most likely solution is internal. And I don't think it's just we got Drew Peterson in, Sam Hauser, who it's cobbling it together primarily between Peterson and Jordan Walsh, and seeing who steps up and can the two of them combine to give you the production you're missing right now from your second unit, especially at nights when Hauser has not had it. And so we'll see what happens there. I understand the reasoning of maybe they want a shooter in particular who also comes with a contract that they could trade down the line. But to me, for a team that's so guarded about team chemistry, that's investing so heavily into its roster on a payroll perspective, I say this is an opportunity to give Hauser time off, especially it's still somewhat early in the season, and try to further develop Walsh and Shireman and Drew Peterson and see what you have there and what comes out of this potential opportunity, depending on if it gets utilized. That's going to wrap up the debut episode of Five Reasons Celtics here on the Five Reasons Sports Network. For Jack Simone from Hardwood Houdini and Sam LaFrance from Celtics Blog, the two do a tremendous job on How About Them Celtics. Be sure to check that out as well and give them a follow on social. You can see their handles there. Jack, Sam, thanks for joining me.
Yes, of course. Sir. Thank you for having us.
All right. We will be back next week. Time and date TBD, but I will be sure to post that on my social media at Bobby Krivitsky. So keep it locked in for that announcement. Thank you once again to everyone who tuned in for the debut episode here of Five Reasons Celtics on the Five Reasons Sports Network.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.